You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us on Friday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to Oaks Day. Of course, the Fillies Classic is the headline act on a good-looking card at Epsom. Also got the Group 1 Coronation Cup to come on that card. They're supported by meetings at Catterick and Market Raisin in the afternoon. There's plenty of good racing to come on Friday night as well. We get a Bath, Doncaster and Goodwood, plus there's an Irish fixture over at Tramore as well. Do make sure you join the team in the studio for all of the action on Friday. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is TV star James Millman.
TV star?
I can barely turn on the box without seeing your ugly mug at the moment.
Luckily, we're not in vision for most of the time, so it's a little bit like the radio. But yeah, I've been a little bit busier recent weeks, done a few shifts in Racing UK, and things are going all right.
Well, and you were on terrestrial TV as well, not too long ago at York.
Pre-race interview. I was hoping it was going to be a post-winning one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But Master Carpenter finished fourth. Unfortunately, the rain never arrived at York, which was frustrating for him because he loves a mud bath, especially in good races. But he ran well to finish fourth, and like I say, it's always good to get a little bit of exposure for the yard. Hopefully it comes across well and can't do any harm.
No, indeed. How's things at the moment, James? Looking forward to this weekend?
Busy weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, Derby weekend. Final runners, draws are out for that today. It's good. It's just the flat season, it kind of gets going so quick. We're already on Classics 3 and 4 of the season, and we're only really 6 weeks into the flat year. And the Oaks field's a little bit disappointing. We'll be discussing that more in depth. The Derby is stronger, but Saxon Warrior has been given still one, which is a little bit of a negative. Probably want Andrew Mount for the exact stats, but it's not got a good record in recent years in any kind of race, never mind the Classics. So it'll be very interesting to see how he gets on from there.
Yes, he remains very much the class act in the field, and the talk of potentially a triple crown bid, which would be very much exciting. But he has just eased as a result of being handed the one box. Now, even money was a shade of odds on yesterday. 15-2 for Young Rascal. Hazapour is 8-1 with Roaring Lion. It's 12-1 and bigger prices the rest. Your anti-post fancy is still in the race, though, James, at 25-1.
Yes, I backed Savannah Star after he won at Windsor very impressively on heavy ground. First run in a year, barely in race going. He scrambled home in the Sandown Classic trial, which I was a little bit disappointed with, but he at least showed he had the guts to win on that occasion. And the rumour was he was actually going to be heading for the King Edward the Southern Stakes at Royal Ascot.
Right.
So I actually think I was going to get a run for my money as such. And John Gosden said, Frankie, you can go and ride Hazapour for Dermot Weld, because his only runner in a race was going to be Roaring Lion. Obviously, Ocean Murphy's retained by Qatar Racing. So it's a bit of a late call to run. Rob Havlin gets a Derby ride, which is good to see. And you'd imagine, with a lot of by-door runners perhaps making the pace, you could run on for a sneaky third and get me some each-way money back. Would be quite nice. Unfortunately, he's about the same price as when I backed him anti-post.
Right.
So it's not really a great anti-post bet, to be fair.
Great for Rob Havlin as well, to get his first ride in the Derby. And good to see jockeys being rewarded by their bosses. There were more high-profile candidates John Gosden could have drafted in for the ride.
Yeah, John Gosden is very, very loyal to the lads that work hard. Robert Havlin is his best work rider. He rides all the stars and all their work. He's instrumental in keeping them under wraps. Cracksman was obviously one of them last year. And you never underestimate how important that is. And Rab's a very good jockey in his own right. He used to ride a lot for my dad back in the day. Obviously now he rides quite a bit for John Gosden as number two, so it's hard to get hold of him. But he's a very talented rider. And that's great that he gets an opportunity in a race like this. First ever ride in the Derby for Rab Havlin.
Yeah. Looking forward to the Derby coming up, of course, on Saturday. We'll turn our attention on to Friday's racing now. We're going to look at the Oaks and the Woodcuts in a little bit more depth, but we better mention the Coronation Cup. Group 1 event coming up at 3:10 over a mile and a half. Cracksman is as short as 3-1 on for this assignment. Hawkbill 11-2, sevens for Idaho, and the other three, all big prices. Cracksman obviously has to be the favourite here, has to be as short as he is. Made a really taking reappearance in the pre-Gane, looked as good as ever. The vibes are that he's strengthened up from last year, a better horse than last year. This is one of the highest rated horses in the world. Will it be a bit of a procession for him?
It should be, shouldn't it? For Cracksman, I say he looked better than ever on his return at Longchamp. He probably a little bit ring rusty, first round back, and John Gosden preps him for the end of the season. So he would have improved plenty for that. And I really like the way he quickened in the final furlong. The pacemaker got given a little bit too much rope by the others, but Cracksman really picked up well. He's done extremely well physically from 3-4. Looks like he's improved immensely. And John Gosden obviously kept Cracksman away from Enable last year because he wanted to preserve him for a four-year-old campaign. Looks like the right decision, I think, at the moment. Obviously, a lot of us really wanted to see Cracksman v. Enable in the arc last year, and it would have been a cracking race, but John Gosden knew he had a very, very good horse in Enable. And luckily, willing owners were happy to wait because Frankie was going to ride Enable. And obviously, Enable's gone wrong this year. So, Cracksman's got lots of Group 1s there for the taking. Hawkbill, he's a decent horse in his own right, isn't he?
Yeah.
Impressive in Dubai.
Yeah, won the Shima Classic, of course.
Solid. Is he going to repeat the form back in the UK? Not all the Godolphin horses do transfer that across, but he's consistent and a credible contender. But there's £8 in official ratings between the two of them, and I'd be surprised if he gets that close to him. The rest are a bit of a muchness. Salo, and good to see Sylvester Kirk having a runner in a Group 1 for a smaller yard. Also got knocked over in the Derby last year and generally been running quite well in good races. But yeah, it should be a procession for Cracksman.
Yeah, got Idaho in there as well. He was behind Hawkbill in the Ashima Classic at Dubai, won by Idaho's older brother, Highland Reel, at this race last year. And good to see Idaho get his head back in front last time out. He's becoming as much of a globetrotter as his older brother was, albeit with slightly less success. But they look to be the main dangers to Cracksman, though, who obviously has a massive, massive chance in that Coronation Cup coming up on Friday. Let's move on to some more competitive races then a little bit earlier on in the day. And we'll start with the Woodcote Stakes conditions race for the two-year-olds. Ran over six furlongs. Card Sharp took this race last year. And usual drill in that we've got a lightly raced bunch of two-year-olds. And you'd be hoping one or two of these are going to take another big step forward.
Yeah, definitely. The Woodcote is quite a tough race for two-year-olds. Epsom is not an easy track to negotiate for inexperienced horses, and not all of them go around Tottenham Corner particularly well. I thought Maurice Diamond ran an absolute cracker in a real strong race at Newbury last time out, a 50 grand race sponsored by Al Shikab Racing on Lockinge Day, third to the Irish Rover, one of Aidan O'Brien's. I thought he raced on the wrong side of the track as well last time out from a poor draw. That Leicester run, I was quite impressed with his win on debut. He's a real nice individual, is Mary's Diamond, and Mark Johnson's got a cracking record in the race. The rest of the series on board, still four, nice enough draw. He's reasonably low, and he's an obvious choice, I think, for that race, and quite confident he'll get off the mark in that.
Maurice Diamond then for the Woodcote, Mark Johnson and Sylvester D'Souza teaming up with that one. On to the big race of the day then, the Oaks, which is of course the third classic of the season for the fillies, racing over a mile and a half. This comes up at 4:30. Betting headed by Wild Illusion, and then followed by the Aidan O'Brien Battalion of Magic One, Forever Together and Bye Bye Baby. Perfect Clarity is next, then Give and Take, I Can Fly, HTR and Flattering. Aidan O'Brien's thrown five darts at the board here, James. Would that suggest to you that he isn't really clear which one of these is the best horse? Ryan's chosen Magic Wand, who probably looks the best on form. But of his quintet, first of all, we'll just start with them. It almost suggests to me as if he's sort of shrugging his shoulders, doesn't know.
Well, you can say that, but then why is he running all these horses against Saxon Warrior?
But how many has he got? He's only got two against Saxon Warrior, though, hasn't he?
They're not four.
Kew Gardens and Delano Roosevelt, I thought.
And there's a couple more, I think.
Oh, yeah, perhaps Zabriskie.
Like, I thought he was literally...
Fair point, yeah.
I thought
he
was literally just going to run Saxon Warrior and one
and
other.
And a pacemaker,
because bigger the field around Epsom, the more trouble you're going to get.
Yeah.
But they're running a lot of them. And you always fear another Wings of Eagle kind of result might happen. But I take your point with the Oaks. For me, if you'd said in March who were his Oaks contenders, none of these would have been mentioned.
Yes.
And I'd imagine for Ryan Moore, it was a tricky decision which one to ride. But it's not a particularly strong Oaks, is it?
No.
Magic Wands just beat Forever Together. Donica had a bit of a nightmare run round on that one at Chester. Magic One was drawn one. Perfect draw. Perfect ride from Ryan Moore. Everything went right. Official handicap has put 5 harm between them. I think it'd be pretty close between the two. Are either of them good enough to win an Oaks? Probably not, in my opinion. But it won't take a great deal of winning. What illusion.
She's the class act, isn't she?
She's been forgotten a little bit, really. She was fourth in the 1,000 guineas. She won the Marcel Boussac last year. Yeah, I've not really heard her mentioned all year, to be honest. She was the second string for Godolphin in the 1,000 guineas. James Doyle rode her, as he has done all through her career. She ran a nice race to finish fourth. I don't think it was a very good 1,000 guineas this year. It was summed up by a big price winner, yet...
It's not a very good Oaks.
Exactly. I think the three-year-old filly's crop as a whole might not be very strong. She's out of a Monson mare. There's plenty of stamina in the pedigree. Start off at a mile. So you'd imagine she'd have no problems with the trip. I think that was a good run, to be fair, in the 1,000 guineas, and she deserves to be favourite. But I'm going to put up one at a price. That's Perfect Clarity. It was a much bigger price, obviously, when the Oaks looked like being a bit stronger. Two from two. And Nathaniel Philly, like an Able, one run last year. A cosy success at Nottingham. Clive said she went a little bit weak, didn't run her again. And she came back with a win in the Linkford Oaks trial, where Adam dropped his whip, yet she still did it with the minimum of thus. Trained by Clive Cox, it's perhaps trained by a trainer with an Oaks record, such as Aidan O'Brien or John Gosden, it would be a little bit shorter. But Clive's a very, very good trainer. And I think he's got a live chance of teaming up Adam Kirby for a classic success. So what illusion deserves to be favourite, should head the market. But I'll be going each way Perfect Clarity tomorrow in the Oaks.
13-2 for a Perfect Clarity coming up in the Oaks. For all that it isn't a very strong Oaks, or it doesn't look it on paper, remember, Enable went off second favourite for this race last year and obviously created a lasting impression on that occasion. And she stepped up right the way through the course of the season. So even though it doesn't look like there's another Enable in this race, there could be, because we didn't know how good Enable was going to be at this stage last year.
She won her trial very well, didn't she, at Chester? She was very, very impressive there.
But I think Rhododendron went off odds on for this race last year.
Rhododendron's a good horse, won the lock-ins.
Yeah.
I'm not having that, Sammy boy. There was a much stronger looking Oaks last year than this one. Only 9 runners again last year, to be fair. I'm just surprised that more fillies didn't give it a go this year. In the fact we saw Sun Maiden win her maiden very impressively at Salisbury. She was entered in the race, decided not to confirm her. And Sia Class, who won well at Newbury. Willie Haggis is very much sitting on the fence and saying, I don't particularly want to go. But there is only one Oaks, and you remember who wins the Oaks. It might not be ideal long term going for it, but... I'm just surprised a few more didn't take a chance, because it looked like being a weak Oaks as soon as Latadar was a non-runner. You kind of thought, give it a go, especially when Aidan O'Brien has numerically dominating the field but hasn't got a serious contender. Like I say, last year he had Rhododendron 1-1-6 going into the race, and Enable 1-0-7, and they did pull 11 lengths clear of anything else. And yes, there wasn't much strength and depth behind that, but you had some nice horses there. I fear a bunch finish tomorrow.
Okay.
Unless Wild Illusion really improves going from a mile to a mile and a half, they're all pretty much together. And like I say, give and take, who you really wouldn't fancy for an Oaks on her form so far. She didn't even give a handicap mark in 97. Yes, she won the Musadora, but that was a very weak trial. She's not that big a price, so I think that just sums it up at the minute. But like I say, we might see a surprise easy winner and such, like Enable winning by 5 lengths, but at the moment, it's doubtful.
Okay, that's the Oaks then on Friday. Wild Illusion, the 5-2 favourite. Magic 1, 4-1. 6-1 Forever Together. Bye Bye Baby, 13-2. James taking a chance with Perfect Clarity, who's also 13-2. And it's tens and bigger the rest. Thank you for that, James, and enjoy Oaks and Derby this weekend.
No worries. Thank you, Sammy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.